Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Here's the manager of the New York Mets. Good to have him with us. This is Mr. Randolph. Willie, how are you today?
Hey, guys.
Mike. Willie, good to see you.
What's happening, pal?
Nothing much. Getting ready for spring training. Yeah.
Great way to finish up the season. You wanted to finish above 500. You had that bad stretch. Team did not quit on you. They played well down a stretch. I know you probably didn't like the August to early September stretch, but you liked the last couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, well, I was real proud of the guys, and you know, we made a commitment to finish up strong as we could. Everyone got after it every day, and you know, we didn't want to be spoilers, but we made some damage down the stretch.
Oh, you did? You hurt a lot of teams?
I think it was important, Willie, considering what went on here the last couple of years, and I thought the game that really breathed life back was that, I think it was Friday night, that Pedro pitched against the Braves, that game he pitched, that masterful game at Shea Stadium. The place went crazy, shut out the Braves, and that seemed to breathe some life back into your team.
Yes, I believe it did. You know, Pedro always kind of set the tone for us, and anytime you get a well-pitched game like that, it kind of kickstarts you a little bit. But we kind of fed off each other most of the year, and good pitching will do that for you.
And it was a referendum, I think, and a good thing for you, because, you know, everyone was wanting to see if this team was going to, because in the last couple of years, it had just been terrible down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, well, you know, living in this town and watching the team play the last few years, you know, it did seem like they kind of, you know, folded the tent a little bit, and no team that I've ever been on or that I'm going to be around is ever going to do that. And again, the attitude was good all year long, and I think going in, even though I talked about it, Mike, I didn't really have to. I think the guys sensed that we wanted to make sure that we didn't give back anything that we gained during the course of the season.
Well, plus the fact, if you're Charlie Manuel and you look back at the 2005 season, I mean, they finished a game back in Houston. They swept the Nationals the last weekend of the season. They got some help from the Cubs, not quite enough. He's going to look back at those two games that you beat him earlier in the week. Now, he got the third game, no big deal. You won those first two. You came back against their bullpen. Those two games, he gets one of them. He's got a wild card playing game. Houston goes to a World Series, for goodness sake. So
that's why.
Those two games are huge games that you guys knocked them off.
At the time, you don't think they're going to come back to bite you. But at the time, we went in there. We played well against them. They were reeling a little bit. But, you know, in retrospect, they're kicking themselves about those games. And I did see Charlie later on in the offseason, and he was giving me a lot of crap about
how we
beat him. Yeah.
And you guys had a heck of a plan against Bobby Abreu. Boy, I tell you, he did not hurt you, and there's a lot of men on base when he came up in those games.
And he's dangerous, Mike. And I remember this one situation where Aaron Heilman threw a great changeup against him. And anytime you can go at him and throw a good changeup, and he swings right through it, you got pretty good stuff. So, you know, Aaron really earned his chops there.
Let's start with Heilman. Heilman now, you know, he wanted to be in a rotation, showed promise last year in the bullpen as a setup guy, wants to start. Now he goes back into the rotation. What do you expect from him?
I expect good things from Aaron. I mean, he's proven that he can pitch on this level. Obviously, he's going to have to make a little bit of a transition going back into the rotation. But, you know, being in the bullpen, you get a chance to throw a little bit. You get a chance to find out about some of your pitches that you haven't used in a while. So I think the important thing for him is to use all of his pitches and continue to throw that good changeup.
Can you answer for us? Now, we're a little puzzled by this. I admit I don't know much about the Dodger pitching. But I'll say this. So was great the second half of last year. What if he pitches like that all year? The guy will win 16 games. I mean, why was everyone in such a hurry to get rid of
Soto? Well, that means we made a bad deal, I guess.
I mean, but did we not see what we saw in the second half of the season?
No, but, you know, Michael, you know that each year is different. You know, he was in a nice groove last year, and Soto has had his ups and downs. We have a quality pitcher, but we also feel we got some quality back. Two good young arms.
Is it fair to take from that you guys thought that was a little bit of a mirage from Soto?
Well, Jay's been up and down, so it's not like it's a mirage. Maybe he's ready to take off, you know. But the bottom line is that you really can't put all your eggs in the basket there. You got to assume that he's going to pitch well. But if you can get better in a different situation, you try it.
Look at those numbers. 8-2 with a 2.5 ERA.
90 innings pitched. Yes.
Oh, he was awesome. He was awesome. There's no doubt about it. And I wish him well. But I think that picking up those strong arms is going to really help us in the long run.
Well, listen, we'll get to the Sanchez and even Julio in a little bit. But the one thing the Mets did do that makes me a little nervous if I was a Met fan. I'm going to figure Glavine and Martinez, no problem. I'll get myself 35, 40 wins, or 38, whatever it might be. I'm okay top of the rotation. Mike likes Traxel. I know Traxel's got ability. Let's say he's healthy. I'll give him his whatever he gets. You got to go 2-for-2 now with this fourth and fifth guy. I mean, if you had Benson and you had So here, you got four guys for the two spots. You can, if somebody falls through, somebody gets hurt, you got a replacement. Now, you're going to tell me you got guys you're high on, but still, you need Zambrano, and now you need Harmon. You need these guys to pitch pretty well there. That's 40% of your rotation. You don't have that cushion that you would have had without those two trips.
Well, that's right, Chris. But the bottom line is that, you know, you have depth in your rotation, and you guys to step up. I mean, you know, to me, I always go back to the fact that every year is totally different. You know, we need to address our middle relief, and we did. Hopefully, that'll bridge the gap to our big closer and Wagner. But, you know, you have to just trust your people. And when Omar makes a deal, I think he's thinking about the long run and the fact that you might have a Bannister or someone like the young kid Maine that came over or a guy like Zambrano who we know can pitch, step up and do what he has to do. Last year, he didn't pitch a lot in the offseason. This year, he's pitching a little winter ball. Hopefully, that'll translate into being a little more effective this year.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time on a lineup. We'll get to that when it happens.
I haven't made it out yet.
Yeah. and I guess it'll prove itself out whether Beltran bats second or third. That's the big issue everyone has. But let's talk about two positions where there's issues. There's only two, second base and right field. As you get ready for spring, what's your thoughts at second base and right field?
Well, my thoughts are that I love the competition that we're coming in with. I mean, you know, I still like Kaz. I don't, you know, a lot of guys are down on him. I understand that. But he's in great shape. He's been working out all winter. He's going to have an opportunity to fight for that job. We're going to bring in Brett Boone. We're going to have Keppinger there. The kid Hernandez did a good job for us last year. So, you know, we have some competition there, and I love to have that in my camp. Right field, the same situation. You know, you have Nady, who I think is a kid who's hopefully ready to blossom and take an everyday job. And Victor Diaz showed flashes last year where I feel like he has all the overall skills, but he needs to harness a lot of that and show that he can be an everyday
guy.
Nady,
we talked to him before. I gather, and I haven't seen a lot of Nady, but Nady says he could play second. He played left, center, mm-hmm. and right, mm-hmm. and first.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good guy to have on your team if he can play all of them pretty well. I don't know if he can. Is your feeling that he could play those positions pretty well?
Well, I got to see him play a little bit of left field. He had one game in center field where he didn't look too good last year against us.
Okay. Well, I know that one game, yeah.
Yeah, but right field, he can play, and I think he can play at first base a little bit too. You know, looks like a good swing guy, but, you know, he's got some pop in his bat also. And from what I understand, he does everything relatively well. So he's a kid that maybe he's looking for that opportunity, and he can become an established everyday ball player.
The only problem I have in the right field situation, it's not a platoon thing. They're both right-handed. Nobody hits left-handed. They both need to play their young players.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have a platoon there. If Nady hit left-handed, it'd be a perfect spot. You can get by with it. Now you sort of, I mean, you can go by matchups where you want, but you'd like to have one of those guys be a lefty, right?
Victor has options also, you know, but if he comes in and takes
a job. Well, you don't want to send back out of the minor leagues again, do you?
Well, no, we don't. But the bottom line is that we do have the option of doing that. If Nady wins it out outright, then we can always, you know, do that. And also, who knows, if Nady doesn't have a great spring, then we can also use one of our lefties. We have Tyke Rettman coming in. He gives us speed.
Right.
And also the other kid, Sanchez.
Chavez, right.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel that you can get by and right field without having an opportunity spot.
Yeah, but I prefer for someone to step up. I really want that to be a spot where you can put the guy up every day and do it.
Does Matsui come to spring training with the second base job, or does Matsui come to spring training having to win the second base job?
Well, I think he has to just compete for it. I don't think that you can say that he has the job because last year was a tough year for him, you know. But he's the guy that has the upper hand right now, I believe you could say that. But I think that if he doesn't play the way he's capable of playing, I'm definitely going to play the best guy.
Are you concerned about your pitchers if they do pitch in this World Baseball Classic? Are you worried about your pitchers pitching in this?
A little bit, Mike. I think we're all a little bit concerned about that. But, you know, we're all in the same boat, so you have to just kind of hold your breath a little bit and hope that these guys protect themselves and come in the best shape of their life, which I think they will. And just hope that everything works out. I think it's great for baseball. I really think it's going to be a tremendous competition. But, you know, as a manager, you know, you like to have all your guys there ready to rock and roll. But, you know, we'll make the most of it.
If I were you, I wouldn't be happy about Pedro Martinez because here's a guy who you basically have to, you know, keep him to such a firm innings and starts. And mm-hmm. now if he pitches early in the spring, I'd be worried about him running out of gas in August.
But, that's a concern. But I still feel like, you know, going into spring training, the routines that they're going to be on, Mike, are not going to be that far from where they are, I think. I mean, you know, it's going to get heated after a while, and the guys will kick it up a notch here and there. But I think when you go into as far as their pitch counts and everything, they'll pretty much stay the same.
But how about he's in the third inning, and he's got the bases loaded, and here's Jeter and A-Rod back-to-back, you know, mm-hmm. and the crowd's going crazy. I mean, he's not going to treat it like a spring training game.
Well, no, he's going to go hard, but if his pitch count is where he's going to extend himself, and I already threatened Manny Actor that he better take him out.
He's managing the Dominican Republic team.
Yes.
That's right. How about Wagner, too? Same kind of spot. Now, we had Wagner on today. I mean, let's face it. He's going through that Dominican Republic lineup with, you know, Ramirez and Ortiz and Guerrero. And Pujols, I mean, I'm sorry, that's not number 66 in spring training, and he's had a history of arm trouble.
Well, and also I think for me the big thing is that, listen, it's better to do it at the beginning of the season than at the end or in the middle. I was thinking about how this whole thing will work out and when's the best time to have
the
this type
time
of tournament.
The only time is in March.
Well, we agree with you on that.
Well, but if that's the case, then these guys are, you know, they're fine-tuned athletes. I mean, a few more bullets here and there is not going to hurt, I don't think.
Mike mentioned the lineup. We won't get into that, but how about Beltran, who, you know, it was very disappointing his first year. I mean, the Mets gave him to $17 million not to hit 280 with 80 RBIs and 15 homers. I don't know what the batting average was. It was a little higher. But it was, you know, that's basically what I was. We need a better year from him. Get accustomed. We know the New York spotlight is tough on a big free agent. Mm-hmm. How about Beltran here in year two?
Well, I tell you what. I'll bet the ranch that Carlos has a much better year than last year. And I think he's really going to step up this year for us, Chris. You're right. He had a tough time last year. I think that there's always that transition you go through. Guys struggle through things or whatever, but the adding Delgado and also having a year under his belt where I think we'll have some flexibility in our lineup, be able to mix and match a little bit. I think he's going to have a great year. He's in unbelievable shape. I got to see him the other day, and I think he's really focused on redeeming himself.
He doesn't want to try too hard. That's
no,
the bottom line.
No, but I think that's out of his system, I think. He'll you know, starting out, he'll probably try to, you know, get off to a great start like they all do. But for the most part, I think he's learned from the experience from last year.
And how about your bullpen with all these young arms? You know, Sanchez from L.A., I'm sure you got some scouting reports. Yeah. We don't like Julio. Sounds like you're going to use him here a little bit. You don't have that lefty in the bullpen,
No, I'm hoping to find a lefty.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You can't like Julio. You saw him against the Yankees. He was afraid to throw the ball.
Yeah, but there were times where he was really dominant, too, Mike. I mean, we knocked him around a little bit, and Yankees usually do. But I liked his arm. I've talked to Mazzilli a little bit about him. He said he does have some serious upside. You know, that's why we pay Rick Peterson a lot of money, you know.
He might need a shrink, too, that guy.
That's the problem. It might be head more than ability.
Or how about a change of scenery sometimes? You know, I think guys sometimes go to a different ball club. They get a different feel.
New York's not the place for a guy who's a little fragile. You know, that one of those three-run homers and it's all over.
I know. But I think a lot has to do sometimes with the teammates and the people you have around them. Julio Franco and those guys are going to be tremendous in our clubhouse. So I think the kid's going to settle in. And if he does, guys, you know, that's a tremendous asset to have in your bullpen.
Is Benson a big loss for you in your mind?
Well, I like Benson. I think anytime you lose a quality pitcher like him, you know, it's going to hurt a little bit. But I think overall, when you pick up an arm like that and maybe a young kid like Maine who can step in and help us out, you have to play it out, guys. You know, but I like Chris. Chris took the ball from me last year. He had a tough start, but I thought he got very consistent in the middle where he won some big games for us. But the bottom line is that, you know, we have to do what we got to do.
10 wins, and, you know, he underachieves a little bit. That's the bottom line. He's got 10-8, 4-3-1 ERA. You're paying him $9 million a year.
And a couple of Christmas parties and goodbye.
And his wife's a pain in the neck. All right, how about Sanchez, the reliever out of L.A.? Now, they didn't think enough of him. The one thing about that, you know,
What is the scouting report?
The Dodgers got Baez, so they didn't have to make that trade. They could have just kept Sanchez there. So that would make you think they don't love him too much. Give me your thoughts about Sanchez.
Well, Sanchez, the report on him, Mike, is that he has a mid to 95 mile an hour fastball, change up, a sinker, throws hard. He comes at you. He's not afraid. He comes at you with good stuff. And he's close some games last year, 8 or 9 games for the Dodgers. I think he'll fit well into the rotation. I'm not sure where I'm going to use him yet. But again, another young live arm. And if you can harness some of that energy, and again, we're talking about our coaching staff helping these guys too.
Right.
I mean, you know, you go to different staffs, sometimes it makes a difference.
What was the... You were in this town as a player, a tremendous player on great teams. You were a coach on great teams. Mm-hmm. You've been around the Yankee circus your whole life. You've seen them get treated like rock stars. You go over to Shea, you become a manager. What was the biggest transition of being a manager after all these years in this town? Was there one?
I really don't think there was one that stood out, really. I think the biggest thing for me is just managing the whole ball of wax.
What's the hardest thing to do during a game as a manager that you found out? Handling the bullpen, is that the hardest?
Well, I think, you know, trying to put guys in the right spot. Now, last year, you know, things were a little bit, uncertain for us in our bullpen, so it was a little bit tougher for us. But I think that when you play in the National League, that is one of the toughest things you have to do, to make sure you put guys in the right position. But overall, dealing with the media as a whole, with the time that you have to allow for them, and just basically just making sure that you can tweak everything that goes on. You have 25 guys to deal with, and it's consuming. It really is. So for me, being in that position for the first time, I didn't realize how consuming it was in the total job.
Was it a lot different being a Met every day than being a Yankee?
Not... Well, a little bit, maybe.
I mean, the Yankee coverage is more. We understand that.
But as a manager, it was magnified for me because right. now that you know, I'm the one that was responsible. As a Yankee coach, everyone knew who I was. But as a Met manager, everyone right away knew who I was, and I had to do what I had to do.
Well, listen, your grades your first year, Willie, were excellent. I mean, no media member had a problem with you, including me. the team finished the season strong. I know you had that stretch you didn't like, but the season team finished
a lot, Chris.
The players liked you. You had to deal with Pedro. It's never easy.
How was that?
That bothered me the last game, by the way.
Did you have any trouble with Pedro?
Last game bothered me. He should have pitched that last game in Philadelphia because you still had a mathematical chance to make the playoffs. He should have pitched that game.
But he was hurting a little bit, Chris. He wasn't quite right. And I guess you can look at it that way. But Pedro, there are certain male divas in the game. That's what I call them. And, Pedro was really on his best behavior last year.
But does he ask for any special treatment?
Not really, no. And I told him from day one that I'm not going to give him that. I mean, obviously.
Came back after the All-Star game, which in Boston he very rarely did.
Yes, Pedro showed me a lot of respect last year. We communicated daily. And again, he's going to have his own program as far as his work regimen because he really is into his physical fitness. But for the most part, he was a great teammate, a great leader. And I'm expecting the same things this year.
Do you have to be on the same page every day with your pitching coach?
Yes, definitely. Rick and I work real well together.
That's imperative to be a good manager.
Oh, yeah.
That has to be. You guys have to think alike.
No doubt about it. Rick Peterson does a great job for us, Mike, and we talk constantly every day. He's in my office for pregame, postgame. We're just trying to get these guys in the right position to do well. And Rick is as prepared as any coach around.
There's a lot of people who feel he didn't like Sol. Is that accurate?
I don't believe that's true. As a matter of fact, Sol pitched well for us. We talked about Sol as a group, and really, I mean, he's been with Sol off and on for the last couple of years, but he was one of Sol's biggest rooters last year.
Well, we'll see April 5th at 5:05.
I'll be there, guys. All
I'll
right.
Tell you, Willie, thanks a lot.
Good to see you guys.
Good
take care.
Yes, Willie.
All right.
Thanks.
Willie Randolph, good to have him with us.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.